Like to call the meeting in order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Mayor Hiermath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here. Would everybody please rise for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. Upcoming meeting announcements, Ms. Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. We have our meeting announcements up on the screen momentarily. Stormwater Utility Commission will meet May 18th at 4 p.m. in the Hopie Conference Room. The Board of Adjustment meets May 23rd at 3 p.m. in council chambers. Historic Preservation Commission, June 5th at 5 in the Hopie Conference Room. Please note the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on June 6th has been canceled. And our next town council regular session is June 7th here in council chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Council reports.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Snyder.
I have two this evening. The first, I'm pleased to announce, and if the council will recall, the town of Oro Valley assisted the CDO Orchestra in their attempts to raise funds to take their orchestra to Carnegie Hall, which they did this past January. And it was a tremendous achievement. And their orchestra director, Mr. Tora Takawa, is here this evening and would like to speak.
Thank you. My name is Tora Takawa. I'm the orchestra director at Canyon Del High School Orchestra. The orchestra traveled to New York City to perform at Carnegie Hall, March 20th, 2017. We started fundraising for the trip in September 2016. I'd like to thank council member Mrs. Snyder for choosing us to be the recipient of Spotlight News in September 2016. After the event, our orchestra president, Rachel Blair, stated, "I was happy to have this honorable mention at the meeting and was pleasantly surprised when they presented us with a $1,000 check and certificate. It showed that our community cares deeply about the arts and Canyon Darrow High School Orchestra's accomplishments. Thank you very much. Spotlight on Youth really ignited us in fundraising. We were on newspaper, TV, and people in the community started sending us checks right after that. We raised over $100,000 in six months, and our goal was $75,000, so we exceeded our goal. The performance itself was wonderful, and we were proud to present Arizona Public School in New York City at Carnegie Hall. We were able to go to the Statue of Liberty, we saw a musical Chicago, and in addition to Carnegie Hall performance. I would like to present this plaque in thanking the town of Oro Valley with a quote from Van Gogh, "Great things are done by a series of small things brought together." Thank you so much for your support, and thank you, Mrs. Schneider, Mayor Hermes, and Town of Oro Valley Council members and community member of Town of Oro Valley. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, as many, many of you are aware, once a month we do a spotlight on youth, shining a light on the great things that kids in our community are doing. And this one's been in the works for a while.
We were fortunate enough to take a tour of schools in the Amphitheater School District earlier this year, and that started at Ironwood Ridge High School. And the culinary class prepared an amazing breakfast, which we weren't expecting. And then we toured some of the schools and came back, and they fixed us lunch. And we were just surprised and amazed and delighted with the quality, not only of the food they prepared, but their professionalism and how their presentation was incredible. So we thought, well, let's shine the spotlight on them. Well, they're high school students. They're busy. They've had tests. They've had competitions. So we finally settled on today to bring them here. And I would just like to share some thoughts with you about them. This is especially delicious honor this evening because Chef Gowan is here with her Ironwood Ridge culinary class, and they did a dinner. They prepared dinner for the council and staff this evening, and we had wonderful Korean spice tacos, right? And all kinds of accoutrements, and it was fabulous. They're also accompanied tonight by Assistant Principal Terry Amundson from Ironwood Ridge. Let me tell you, culinary class is light years away from what you and I might remember as home ec. Things have really changed. In addition to learning basic culinary concepts, these students are taught workplace skills. And every year, as part of Skills USA, they compete at the state level with other culinary arts students. They also participate in careers through the Culinary Arts Program, which helps students in need obtain scholarships and internships to culinary schools and restaurants. In the last 3 years, the students in the Ironwood Ridge program have earned more than $50,000 in scholarships. So this is tremendous for them. Here's something rather impressive. Students in Chef Gowan's advanced classes are eligible to earn 12 college credits. That's how vigorous and rigorous her program is. Culinary arts is also part of the career and technical education program known as CTE. And CTE is part of the JTED program. And many of you may have followed the importance of JTED, which is the Joint Technical Education District, because JTED plays an integral role in developing jobs, job opportunities, postgraduate for students. So not every child is going to go to U of A or ASU or any place else and study a topic. They may have a passion for a badly needed in our society role, and this fills one of them, and that's feeding all of us good food. In addition to the program and daily academic rigors, these students also participate in community service, such as the Veterans Heritage Project, Toys for Tots, and fundraising for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Foundation. Unlike many of the students in other areas of study, where they often have a different teacher each year, students in the culinary arts get to stay with Chef Gowan for all 4 years. And I think that consistency is what really makes the program rich for them. And in her own words, I'll quote, "That's one of the best things I like about teaching and what makes my program so special. I get to have these students all 4 years of high school and watch them grow and reach their goals for the future, whether or not it's in the hospitality field. One thing's for sure, when these students finish the culinary arts program at Ironwood Ridge, they'll have plenty of opportunities." That's the goal of CTE, is to prepare them to enter the workforce directly or have some hands-on experience in their chosen field of study. We're so impressed with these young people and admire your dedication and the contributions that you are making and will make in the future. So thank you, Chef Gowan, for leading such a successful program and making these kids shine. So we have some certificates for them. The mayor and I will conduct this. So I'm going to call the students up, and if you would just remain up here because we want to take a group photo. And then, Chef, if you would come up, and Mrs. Amundson, if you would come up too. So the spotlight on you says congratulations on your dedication to and success in Culinary Arts. We're very proud of you, dated today. So the first one is Austin Assini.
Go. It's okay to clap.
Very well.
Yeah.
Nice assistant. Also, Tara Colley. Taylor Colley.
Sisters?
Ah. Sisters. Cody Hendrick. Thank you so much. Bethany Juarez. Nick Perricone, did I say that right? Thanks, Nick. And I think our only senior, Samuel Rivas. Ryan Simpson. Mario Salarizano. And unfortunately not able to be here tonight is Dante Matei, and if you would be so kind. Okay. So if we could have you come up.
I didn't really prepare anything to say because I've lost my voice for the last couple of days because it's busy at the end of the year. So I'm going to let my senior, Sam Rivas, speak for the class. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Samuel Rivas, and I'm in the Advanced Culinary Arts Program at Ironwood Ridge High School. The Culinary Arts Program teaches us about basic culinary concepts as well as the soft skills for the workplace that enable us to effectively and harmoniously work with others, other students and co-workers, which creates team building, essentially building character and leadership abilities. Every year we take part in the Skills USA, which is a leadership-based CTSO, or a career and technical student organization. Also, we compete in Careers Through Culinary Arts program, which helps students in need obtain scholarships and internships in restaurants and culinary schools. Around 50,000 has been earned by students in the last 3 years, thanks to an incredible program that pushes students further to reach their goals and their desires. We partake in the community service, in the Veterans Heritage Project, Toys for Tots, and for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Foundation. Culinary arts students in the advanced class earns 12 college credits, and being in an advanced class, and it prepares students for entry level employment, and it's aligned with industry and business standards. The CTE course includes strong academic and career and technical courses that ultimately prepare us for the future and real-world application in either culinary or any business that we choose to. I'm sorry. We choose to select. And thank you very much.
So if we could have you over here, we're going to take a group. And then these students are busy, and they're in the middle of exams wrapping up the year, so they're going to exit right away as soon as they're done.
Everybody come down to the middle. So if we could have everybody shift down to the middle.
All right, slide down.
Any other council reports? I actually have one. So our interim town water utility director, Mr. Peter Abraham, I am honored and proud to announce that just today I found out that he got promoted to actual water utility director. So Peter, I want to say congratulations. Any other council reports? All right, there being none, we'll move to department reports. Mr. Sharp?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we have two department reports. The first one will be from our water utility director, and the second from our communications administrator.
Thank you, Chief. First, let me just start by saying I've been involved with Municipal Water Works for 18 years, and being promoted from our town's water resources and planning manager to water utility director is nothing short of a privilege and honor. I plan on another 18 years in Municipal Water Works, and I came up with that number. I was just thinking about that, and that was judging from the age of my wife and I, our youngest son. So I have at least another 18 years. I really look forward to working with everyone on the executive leadership team. It's a wonderful team, a wonderful town, a fantastic mayor and council. If you can't excel in this environment, you can't excel. So thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. With that said, can you hear me okay, Mr. Mayor and council members?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. With that said, Mr. Mayor, council members, executive leadership team, members of the audience, tonight I would just like to provide a brief department report with respect to water quality. Last night, there was a local broadcast and news coverage, and it was with respect to a neighboring water utility that had some groundwater production wells test above the United States Environmental Protection Agency's health advisory limit for 2 of 10 EPA unregulated compounds. And when I say unregulated compounds, in the water business, we test for lots of constituents, lots of compounds. These unregulated compounds, what that means is the EPA right now is they're trying to determine, are these harmful to human health? And if so, at what levels are they harmful? At what points do we notify the public? At what points do we take proactive action? So with respect to those two compounds, and I have to look at how to say them here because I never want to have to say them again except to tell you they're not in our water system. I'll say them as much as I have to for that. But those two compounds are perfluoroalkyds and 1,4-dioxane. These compounds are found in waxes, shampoos, waterproofers, fire retardants. They're part of our everyday lives, and sometimes they find themselves into our water supply. Even though these are currently unregulated, the EPA has established health advisory limits or an advisory, you know, guidelines on what happens if you exceed these limits. I'm very pleased to report to you that the Oro Valley Water Utility has recently tested for these specific compounds, and there's no sign of these compounds in our distribution system, our water supply, or our CAP water supply. I wouldn't expect to see these compounds in our groundwater wells or our CAP water supply because the area where these compounds were detected are far removed from where we provide, from where we get our groundwater production. But I just wanted, you know, I saw the report last night and I felt it it had merit to report to you that these compounds are not detected in our water system. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Just a word I'll interject. You've been trained under Mr. Saletta pretty well. All you had to say is we don't have these compounds. Next.
But it was considerably shorter than.
Well, that's very true.
So we're on the right track.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Even an email.
Miss Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Just a brief reminder, we have stacks of these cards. They're similar to what you see on screen. These ones say Get Social, and it's a reminder that the town has very active presence on Facebook, and there's three different kind of channels you can follow. You've got the main town account, Town of Oro Valley, Parks and Recreation, because there's a lot happening over there, and then the police department. And actually, Facebook is the number one driver of traffic to the town website, so we know that our residents are going there and getting their information. So if you're on Facebook and you're not following all three of those, we invite you to hop on there and stay plugged in to all the great things that are happening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And there are more cards in the back. If you want to grab one, hand them out to friends, take a few. Thanks.
Thank you. I have reviewed the order of business, and it will stand as posted. I do have two call the audience speakers before I call them up. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. At the conclusion of call to the audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. First speaker, Richard Furesh.
Good evening, Council. My name is Richard Furesh, and I am a resident of Oro Valley, as most of you know me. I'm here to ask Council to address a serious safety issue that exists at Craig Park. The safety issue is caused by unauthorized vehicles using an access way that connects the new parking lot that we built for the Aquatic Center, located off Calle Concordia, to the parking lot that existed originally, the original East Center parking lot, which is a really narrow, kind of poorly lit little parking lot, but it works for what we do. That lot's accessible from Linda Vista. The connecting way is a dirt thing behind the maintenance building, and it's marked clearly authorized vehicles only, yet it is consistently used by all vehicles. There is a gate on one side that is absolutely never closed. And with rare exceptions, as I say, cars go through this streaming. You can see the dirt and the dust just flailing away. Now, I'm a park user at various times during the day, and I personally observe pedestrian vehicles using the connector, not to find parking, but to get to Linda Vista or Calle Concordia, thus avoiding Oracle Road. Which is something everybody wants to do, but this is not a good way to do it. Often these vehicles are traveling through at a high rate of speed. For example, the CDO baseball players, and I'm not picking on them, they just happen to use it, are an example of users that access the way. Some of them use it after practice to cut through from the field to Concordia, avoiding Oracle, and they're going at least 35 or 40 miles an hour, and the dust is swirling. The day supervisor of the park, a town employee, and a really great guy named Manny Madrid, confirmed to me this morning that he has seen many cars using the access way. In fact, he told me that an older lady was nearly hit yesterday. Last night, my dog, Louie, who was out in the car, and I had to make a quick move to get out of the way of a black Ford F-350 charging from one parking lot to the other. And yes, the dust was swirling. This time of year, that old parking lot, that narrow parking lot, is used by families coming in to play Little League baseball. They linger in the north parking lot as they get their equipment, food, pets. The lot is narrow. You can barely back your car up from spot. So no one has, one must proceed, very, very slowly while driving through it. Like 1 mile an hour. The last thing we need there is public access traffic passing through from one parking lot to the other. So I'm here to ask you to look into the situation. Please ask our Parks and Rec Department and our Police Department to investigate and then devise and implement a solution that stops the non-authorized vehicles from using this access way. My fear is that someone, one of our children, are going to get hit, seriously hurt, and if we don't, as a town, address this very serious safety issue. Thank you for your hopefully immediate attention, and do have a productive meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Snyder?
I'd just like to direct staff to maybe follow up on the concern voiced and see what if a remedy is needed or if they have any knowledge about the situation.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we will take care of it.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Ed Clary.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Ed Clary, and I live at 9340 North Calle El Milagro, which is, of course, in Oro Valley, as it's right next to the town's stormwater and road operations facility at 680 West Calle Concordia. For brevity, I'll just refer to that as 680, if you don't mind, for the purposes of my discussion tonight, so if you'd be so kind to humor me there. I'd like to primarily speak briefly about the continuing renovations improvement made there, not just one as one who lives in immediate proximity, but also as a neighborhood representative at large. I know the council is probably understandably focused on larger budgetary and planning issues, such as the upcoming bond referendum, but I think that's a good reference because, honestly, the history of 680 is a great example of what happens when we don't plan appropriately for growth and future use of town facilities and services. In 680's case, I'd like to applaud the recent outstanding efforts of the Department of Community Development and Public Works, led by Paul Kiesler, and his staff. Mr. Kiesler publicly committed the town to being a better neighbor in response to overwhelming neighborhood resistance to a proposed repurposing of the facility when combined with some poor long-range planning and neglect in the past. As you're no doubt aware, the CPDW folks, or CDPW folks, have economically constructed a masonry wall around the operations facility at 680, and that really greatly enhances a lot of the things there. Everything from aesthetics, noise mitigation, and physical security. And I want to emphasize the next sentence, really I do. It has been a fantastic start that has produced results far beyond any of us ever would have thought happened. So thank you. However, the job's not complete. Specifically, a vehicular gate and associated facilities need to be built at the Calle El Milagro entrance. Right now, if you went over there, you could literally walk onto the town facility and do anything you want to do. There is no total security around there. The wall does help, but we need to have a gate there as well. Additionally, for too long, residents have looked at, heard, and smelled an industrial facility in the midst of a residential neighborhood. It's not a cure-all, but the wall is a great start, as well as its companion gate, into improving that situation in both form and function. And that light, Oro Valley also requires commercial retail businesses to conform to community standards of appearance, and we think it's only fair that the town hold itself to the same standards that it holds its businesses to. So as part of that, we ask that the council direct the staff, and the manager and his staff to work with the neighborhood to work on the aesthetics of that gate so it's compatible with our neighborhood. The town staff has publicly committed to this in the past, and your approval and direction will just merely add gravity to an urgency to fulfill that simple promise. The benefits will be even better, though, because there's a relationship and trust that needs to be built between the neighborhood and the town. And just a little over the 10 years ago, the two sides were fighting in court. Things are getting much better, but it will only continue to improve if we do that. Our hope is that we can arrive at a win-win, a facility and a neighborhood better served. So in closing, I urge the council to approve the line of the manager's budget regarding the construction of 680's gate, if not increase it. Additionally, please consider publicly reinforcing your desires to the town staff that a better neighborhood-town relationship is desired as we move forward, and allow us to be part of the team that works with the design aesthetics. Thank you for your time, attention, and service to Oro Valley.
Thank you. Mr. Kiesler, I'm under the assumption that our work that we started is now finished, correct? It's ongoing?
That is correct, Mayor. It is ongoing.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move on to presentations. Mike?
Presentation of the Historic Preservation Commission's 2017 Historical Expository Writing Contest winners.
Ms. Diaz-Trahan.
Mayor, Council, I would like to introduce Mr. Eric Tomei, who is the chair of the Historic Preservation Commission, and he will conduct the presentations of the expository writing contest winners.
Mayor and Council, one of the tasks of the Oro Valley Historic Preservation Commission is to educate the public on the value of history, especially in a town that's not that old. A lot of people don't even know that we can talk about the history of Oro Valley, but obviously we can. We've also got historical resources here. And the HPC has taken it upon themselves as one of their main goals, to educate the public on what Oro Valley has to offer in that realm. In particular, the education component of the HPC was taken on a while back by former chair Marilyn Lane, who was an educator before she had retired. In 2015, she laid the groundwork and wrote the first questions for the Oro Valley Historic Preservation Commission Expository Writing Competition. Marilyn unfortunately passed away while serving as chair this past September. But under her direction, and when ideas were brought about to honor Bill Adler, the council had asked the public to come up with some ideas. the HPC voted unanimously to rename the Oro Valley Historic Preservation Commission Expository Writing Competition the William Adler Expository Writing Competition, to remember him and his love of community, education, and preserving the historical and cultural resources that we have. So as we present what is our third year of having this competition, the winners tonight with a certificate and an award for their efforts, we want to remember, again, the two individuals that we just mentioned, Marilyn Lane and Mr. Adler, for everything that they did on behalf of this community. And I know we have at least, do we have all three here? I think we do. I think we have all three here. Very briefly, basically, the commission comes up with a couple of ideas, two or three or four ideas, and staff presents those to the school districts.
Fourth grade.
And we ask them to prepare these, or to have the school districts and their teachers present them to their students to do research and to learn. And the two that we have tonight, the two topics, in particular, one was Gadsden Purchase, and the other one that was written about and won was related to the Hohokam people. And we'll start with third place. Our third place winner is Maya Lamoureux. Maya is receiving a certificate and a $50 gift card, and she wrote about the Gadsden Purchase.
Fantastic.
Yes.
What school does she attend?
She attends Harrelson, but some of our winners this time are also homeschool, and we also provide the information to our private schools. So.
Fantastic.
That's great.
And before I announce second and first place, I will preface this with, I've read both of these, and they are different, despite the fact that they have the same title. And their brothers that wrote them. They are different, though. They didn't submit one for the both of them. Second place goes to Gavin Phillips, who wrote about the time of the Hohokam, and he compared it to our time right now, 2017. So Gavin is receiving a certificate and a $75 gift card.
Nice. I might have to take this off.
And finally, our first place winner this year is Zach Phillips for his entry, also entitled The Time of the Hohokam, comparing it to 2017.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Hornet?
Would we have an opportunity to read these on our website or something?
Sure.
Perfect.
I'll post them.
Thank you.
And Zach is receiving a certificate and a $100 gift card.
Nice. Up, would you
thank
let us,
you.
Thank you very much.
When they're up, would somebody let us know where they are?
You want to read that?
Christy will. All right, Mike, number two.
Proclamation, Men's Health Month.
Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, Proclamation, Men's Health Month, June 2017. Whereas despite advances in medical technology and research, men continue to live an average of 5 years less than women, with Native American and African American men having the lowest life expectancy. And whereas educating the public and healthcare providers about the importance of a healthy lifestyle and early detection of male health problems will result in reducing rates of mortality from disease. And whereas men who are educated about the value that preventative health can play in prolonging their lifespan and their role as productive family members will be more likely to participate in health screenings. And whereas the Men's Health Network worked with Congress to develop a national men's health awareness period as a special campaign to help educate men, boys, and their families about the importance of positive health attitudes and preventive health practices. And whereas the Men's Health Month website has been established at www.menshealthmonth.org and features resources, proclamations, and information about awareness events and activities, including Wear Blue for Men's Health. And whereas the Town of Oro Valley Men's Health Month will focus on a broad range of men's health issues, including heart disease, mental health, diabetes, prostate, testicular, and colon cancer. And whereas the citizens of this town are encouraged to increase awareness of the importance of a healthy lifestyle, regular exercise, and medical checkups, now therefore I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim June 2017 as Men's Health Month in Oro Valley and encourage all of our citizens to pursue preventative health practices and early detection efforts, dated the 17th day, May 2017. And do we have anybody here, Mike, for... All right.
I'll take it.
All right. I will pass this on to Vice Mayor Lou Waters, who is actively engaged in men's health. Vice Mayor Waters, great job.
Thank you very much.
So I have 2 weeks to shape up for June.
The first part was really depressing. 5 years left.
Be tough.
All right, Mike, item number three.
Proclamation, National Public Works Week.
Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation, National Public Works Week, May 21st through 27th, 2017. Whereas public works, infrastructure, facilities, and services are of vital importance to sustainable communities and to the health, safety, and well-being of the people of Oro Valley. And whereas the support of an understanding and informed citizenry is vital to the efficient operation of public works systems and programs, such as stormwater, streets, and highways and public buildings. And whereas the quality and effectiveness of these facilities, as well as their planning, design, and construction, is vitally dependent on the efforts and skill of public works officials. And whereas the efficiency of the qualified and dedicated personnel who staff the Public Works Division is materially influenced by the people's attitude and understanding of the importance of the work they perform, now therefore I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of the Town of Oro Valley, Arizona, do hereby proclaim the week of May 21st through 27th, 2017 as National Public Works Week, dated the 17th day, May 2017. And in the audience with us is our director, Paul Kiesler.
Remember, it's Men's Health Month also.
Mayor, council, staff, the public who are still here. This is a recognition for the really hard work that your staff, the town staff, does to keep the roads, the washes, keep general infrastructure. I share this with our new director, with our water department as well. It's all infrastructure. It's all stuff that makes this town what it is. And I want to say thank you very, very much to my staff and to the water department staff who are the recipients of this. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for speaking.
Consent agenda.
Mayor?
Vice Mayor Waters.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Standish regular agenda item number one.
Public hearing, resolution number R17-20, adoption of the tentative budget for fiscal year 2017-18 and setting the local alternative expenditure limitation for fiscal year 2017-18.
Staff report.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, it's my pleasure to present the tentative budget for adoption this evening. As you're aware, this process started back in January, where we started off meeting with you all and then getting input from the employees and the departments, putting together our CIP, ultimately delivering you the town manager's recommended budget in April, and then having two budget study sessions on April 26th and May 10th, which leads us to tonight for the public hearing, first of two. Where tonight we will adopt the tentative budget, which also sets the expenditure limitation for the fiscal year. And then, depending your
approval tonight, then our plan is for the second public hearing and the adoption of the final budget on June 7th. With that, I'll turn that over to our Finance Director, Stacey Lemos.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you all know, this budget was prepared surrounding the main focus areas, these 10 focus areas that are in our newly adopted strategic plan, and very closely follows the vision that was recently voter ratified in our town's general plan, Your Voice, Our Future. As you know, back on April 19th, the staff presented the town manager's recommended budget in the amount of $123.2 million. And since then, a few adjustments have been made to the budget, as outlined on this slide, to bring the tentative budget total up to $128.6 million as presented this evening. It's common for there to be some changes between the manager's recommended budget and the tentative budget, and we've done this in the past as new information comes to light between the presentation of the manager's recommended budget and the tentative budget approval. And these changes presented this evening are the result of council discussions at the two previous budget study sessions, the impacts from the passage of the state budget, and other minor adjustments based on the capital project spending that we're looking at next year. So just to go through a few of these changes here, the top bullet point, $5 million in additional budget capacity was added to the capital project bond fund for the possible issuance and expenditure of the general obligation bonds should the November 7th, 2017 special election pass for funding additional fields and amenities at Naranja Park. So this is simply adding capacity of what we would estimate to spend out of those project funds in next fiscal year should this initiative pass the voters. If the election does not pass, then we would not utilize this capacity in the budget. The second bullet point down is an amount of $249,750 was added in additional budget capacity, is rolled over into next fiscal year for the energy efficiency project at the community center, just based on updated spending estimate from our project contractor train. So this simply allocates the appropriate amount in next year's budget to finish this project in next fiscal year that is expected to end up on budget and on time by the early fall. The next bullet point down impacts not only the highway fund, but also has a positive impact on the general fund. State shared highway user fund, our HERF revenues, were increased by $125,000 in the highway fund based on an increased one-time allocation to cities and towns that was funded through the state budget for fiscal year 17-18. Therefore, as a result of this increase, the subsidy transfer from the general fund to the highway fund for fiscal year 17-18 was decreased by that same amount, $125,000, down from $400,000 to $275,000. So no net change to the highway fund, if you will. And then this change also then increased the estimated year-end fund balance in the general fund up from $11.7 million to $11.8 million. And then finally, in the bed tax fund, $50,000 in the bed tax contingency reserves were moved up to the operations and maintenance budget in the economic development division to further support economic development, marketing, advertising, sports, tourism, and arts and culture per the council direction at the May 10th, 2017 budget study session. This change reduced the estimated fiscal year-end fund balance in the bed tax fund from about $276,288 to $226,288. This brings the total tentative budget to $128,567,505. So this will be the amount, if council approves, to include as the cap in your motion for approval this evening. This slide depicts the revenue sources and beginning fund balances of all of the funds in the budget of $128.6 million. As you can see, our fund balances make up nearly $43 million, or 33% of the budget. That's the largest portion of this chart, while sales taxes comprise 16%, or $20.6 million. Charges for services are at 9%, or $11.8 million. State shared revenues make up another large portion at 12%, or $15 million.
And then water sales up at the top are 9%, or 12 million. And then outside funding sources, which are mostly funds that we're receiving from the Pima Association of Governments and Regional Transportation Authority for our road projects, is at 12% or 15.8 million. This chart depicts the expenditure categories of our budget, the breakdown of the $128.6 million by category. You can see the personnel making just up over a quarter of our budget at $33 million, O&M at $27 million almost, capital at $26.5 million, debt service at $6.7 million, and our contingency reserves, another large portion at 28% or nearly $36 million. Our CIP program totals nearly $25 million for next fiscal year. And again, you'll see the largest segment of this budget is captured in the PAG RTA fund at $8 million at the bottom, with the dedicated funding from these agencies for our three roadway improvement projects for Lambert Lane, La Cholla, and Tangerine. The Water Utility Fund has $2.9 million in projects planned, with significant portion of this amount attributable to the utility work associated with the road widening projects that I mentioned. And then our general government CIP fund has $4 million budgeted for various parks and recreation, public safety projects, vehicles and equipment, and some other facility improvements. This slide is a snapshot of our general fund for next fiscal year, totaling just over $36 million. And that excludes our fund balance amounts. This is just pure revenues, pure expenditures. And as you can see, we have a planned use of one-time reserves for one-time expenditures of about $390,000. The estimated ending fund balance in this fund is $11.8 million for next year, or 32% of our expenditure budget, which is well above our council policy limit of 25%. And just a few highlights on the revenue sources chart on the top. Nearly 80% of our general fund revenues come from both the local sales tax category and state shared revenues. And again, just a reminder for those who are in the public that may not know, but we do not collect a property tax to fund our day-to-day operations for our community. On the uses side, expenditure side, our personnel costs comprise about 69% of our expenditures, which is fairly common in local government. O&M is at 21%, capital is at 2%, and then our transfers out to other funds are at 8% for next year. The remaining item then for this evening for council clarification follows up on council discussion from our April 26th budget study session regarding funding for Steam Pump Ranch. Just following up to ask whether you would like to reallocate any of the current amount budgeted for the Proctor Lieberhaus renovation. Right now, the budget includes $55,000 for design costs for the Proctor Lieberhaus renovation. And the question came up about whether or not council would want to reallocate those funds to another purpose on that property. So we ask for your direction on that if you wish for that to change this evening. Any final notes? Just wrapping up. Tentative budget adoption, again, sets the maximum spending ceiling for this evening. The final budget for June 7th cannot exceed the tentative budget maximum amount, but it's important to note that the council has the authority to amend the budget throughout the fiscal year. After the spending cap is set this evening, we'll publish the budget for two consecutive weeks and plan to hold our second public hearing on June 7th for the final budget adoption. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Snyder.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Stacy, your question on clarification of the Steam Pump Ranch funds allocation, my best recollection was we were having a conversation about making sure that those monies were, that $55,000 was allocated to the needed improvements at the Push House, because there's some structural things that have to be addressed urgently there. And also, I believe the sprinkler system that needs to go in, whatever. That was my recollection, and chime in.
I have a different recollection.
Yes.
We know.
I don't think we settled that. I know there was some. I know we had 15.
We had conversation about it.
We had $15,000 that we know, not included. I don't know if this 15,000.
16.
For the stabilization?
Yeah, just to make sure that it doesn't, the walls that are cracking.
That's aside from the 55?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yes. Thank you.
So I don't know that we settled this. I don't know there was some conversation.
All right, let me go down the roll, though.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Pena?
Mr. Mayor, we had discussed that the $15,000 was originally for the fire system, which was in the budget, and then the $55,000 was the Proctor Lieber amount set aside for the consultant. And so there was another, I think the wall stabilization was needed along with security. So I would recommend, or I would prefer to direct staff to put the combination of all of those, which would total the $15,000 and the $55,000 into the CIP, and then the grant that they were going to apply for, I believe through the Parks and Recreation, correct me if I'm wrong, that grant will be applied for, and then if it is approved, then we would need council approval to be able to match those funds. And then at that point, we could look to put those funds towards the Proctor Lieber consultant. Am I correct in that summary?
Just one clarification, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Pena, was the existing $15,000 that's already in the budget was actually earmarked for the fixing the push house, fixing the foundation that's dropping, and then fixing some cracks in
that. So that was the stabilization.
House. Correct.
So the additional piece to pretty much fix the push house to where it would be where they want it to be able to move their artifacts or relics there, that would be the wall stabilization, the security system, and the fire safety system, or the water system, I believe.
The water system.
That was going to run water to it.
Right.
So in total, the $15,000 plus that $55,000 was what I had talked about moving to CIP. And then there was a grant that they were going to apply for, and that would be used then for the Proctor Lieber consultant.
Mayor, Councilmember Pena, if I may. In the recommended budget in the general fund, we have $15,000 for the crack repair in the Proctor Lieber house. In CIP, we have $55,000 for the, or excuse me, let me clarify, the crack repair for the push house.
Right.
$55,000 for the planning and design of the Proctor Lieber house.
Right.
There was not a recommendation for a fire suppression system, but that's what got brought up. The fire suppression system is being requested primarily from the Oro Valley Historical Society. That is a $36,000 project. It's $16,000 to pull the water to the site, an additional $20,000 to install the fire suppression system. Then with the grant was for the conceptual design of the interior of the Proctor Lieber house. That's completely separate from the construction design. We were going to use the construction design as our match toward the grant.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Warner.
I'm still... The $55,000 that's in the CIP currently is to hire a consultant to review the Proctor Lieber house.
That's not correct. He's putting together the entire design, the construction design, so we can take it to construction documents to put a bid out to construct the property.
And there's going to be a matching grant for?
For the interior design in terms of how it's going to follow the master plan. And that's
the $55,000 that's in our CIP is to fund construction drawings for, and are there different drawings for the interior for the grant? And how much is the grant, I guess?
The grant's $10,000.
So they want us to spend $55,000 to do construction drawings, and we're going to get $10,000 for somebody to tell us what the interior should look like. Mr. Mayor, honestly, I can't support that.
Well, hang on a second. I still got a lineup to go through. So just for clarification purposes, so we have two different things. $55,000 set aside for Proctor Lieber. We have $15,000 currently in the budget for the push ridge crack seal stabilization.
The push house.
Cracks, oh, push yes. house. And then we need, so there's a balance of $36,000 unaccounted for.
Correct.
That is a request to put the fire suppression system in and some other security system and things like that to get the push house functional so that the Historical Society can move some artifacts in there, correct?
That is correct, but to be clear, there's already artifacts in there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And the $36,000 is only for the fire suppression. The additional for security would be on top of that.
And do we know what that cost is?
No, we don't, Mayor.
Okay, because I think I know where Councilmember Hornet's going. Now, if we already have the capacity, just take the 55 and shift it over to the push house, but I'll get to him in just a second. So, Vice Mayor Waters.
Well, I was told by former Mayor Loomis that there was $5,000 that the Historical Society would pledge towards this fire suppression system. Is that not correct? Have you been told that?
Vice Mayor, yes, he has told me that as well.
Is that being factored into this whole picture here?
No. We got to figure out what it is that we want to do, and then we'll factor in that. And then we'll just less $5,000 on that.
Okay, but that wasn't, I didn't want to get in on the steam pump discussion. I wanted to ask about the $50,000 in bed tax being moved over to economic development, which I'm all for, of course, but under the heading of marketing, advertising, sports, tourism, arts, and culture. Is there a plan behind that? I mean, what exactly is that $50,000 going to be used for?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, I'll transition that to Ms. Jacobs.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Waters, after that recommendation was made, this is still a tentative budget. So it is tentatively planned to put $20,000 towards arts and culture, to partner with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, and just to continue to expand on our arts and culture offerings. $10,000 is going to go towards special events, sports tourism, and then $20,000 will be spread across the advertising, and looking to work with Bear Essentials, continuing our partnership with Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and Site Selector Magazine to assist with our business attraction efforts. Thank you.
That's all earmarked for that, those things you just mentioned.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Samara.
Councilmember Robin?
I'm so confused about steam pump ranch. I'm not sure how I asked the question. It was presented to me that they wanted the budget to stay as it was when you presented it because of this matching grant. And it was presented to me that if they didn't get the grant, they wouldn't be spending the other money. Now, that's not what I'm hearing at all tonight. But those words were exactly the words told me. So now I'm really confused about how this is. I'm just confused. So maybe I won't be confused by the time we get to the final budget.
So with regard to the matching grant, that's a matching grant. We may or may not get that.
Right.
Within the budget, the $55,000 is intended to provide construction documents for the Proctor Lieber House, so the next steps we can then move forward the advancement of the rehabilitation of Proctor Lieber House as it is written out in the master plan, and also within our strategic planning, focusing on cultural, valuing our cultural resources. So that's why that request is within our capital improvement plan. It was also supported by the Historic Preservation Commission. The grant is something that we would apply for. If we get it, that's fantastic. If we don't, then we don't. But the need for the construction documents for the Proctor Lieber House will be a necessity for that project.
So really it sounds to me the only question, well, there may be a question about the whole thing, but it's whether we want to do this other fire suppressant security thing. And that would be added money into this. Is that correct? That's not anywhere in this budget now.
Mayor, Councilman Rodman, you have a couple choices. You could add that additional $36,000 capacity, or it sounds as though some of the conversation was
the transfer.
Instead of doing the Proctor Lieber House, you would do the $36,000, would then be a little bit of a savings to the budget. And then, as Vice Mayor mentioned, the Historical Society does has committed to $5,000.
Thank you. I think I understand now.
Councilmember Hornet and Councilmember Sellin.
Mr. Mayor, I'll just pass. Thank you. I think I've said enough.
Councilmember Sellin?
My recollection was is that there seemed to be good consensus that we were not sure at all that we wanted to spend $55 million to have an architect.
$55,000.
Really?
You said million.
We really don't want to.
It just seems like $55 million, Steve.
Never mind.
Who cares now?
Never mind.
Stacy just fainted.
Whoa. Lay off the dessert.
Yes. Here, clean your glasses.
The $55,000 for the Proctor Lieber House, because we kind of know they're going to tell us it's going to cost several million dollars to renovate it, and we're not quite sure of the value of the renovation, and we certainly know we don't have several million dollars to do it. So we were questioning the wisdom of spending $55,000 for somebody to tell us something that we already know.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the first part, is I think the consensus was we really don't want to commit to that right now. The whole issue of whether or not we should do a fire suppression system was still up in the air. It was requested by the Historical Society. We have to bring in the water, and there's pros and cons to that project. My impression was that before we decided where we wanted to put the money in Steam Pump Ranch, we'd probably want to revisit the master plan, because it's been a long time since it was done, and I don't think any of us are really up to speed on it. And I would suggest there's a way that we can park that $55,000 in the budget and not specifically allocate it other than general Steam Pump Ranch improvements, and then we could decide at a later date where do we want that money to go to, because I don't think we're at the point to certainly endorse the study or spending $36,000 on a fire suppression and security.
But I think the issue becomes, if we're looking at just transferring, if we're looking at taking the $36,000 out of the $55,000, then we have the capacity, right?
Right.
But if this council is looking to do both in the future, parking the $55,000 is still going to leave us $36,000 short for the fire suppression system. So the question becomes, do we want to add the 36 or live within the means of the 55?
But I thought, according to Stacy, we could always pull out of the general reserve fund.
If there's going to be a transfer now, we would transfer it out of the contingency reserve, or we adopt this, and then at a later date, as Ms. Limo stated, we can come back and take the money out of the contingency at any time. That's your discretion, at council discretion.
I think the main point is that we're not authorizing proceeding with that $55,000 consulting contract.
Is that clear down there, or is any other clarification needed?
No, Mayor, Council, that's perfectly clear. What's not clear is what we're doing with the fire suppression system.
I believe what's clear is nothing.
Well,
we're not doing anything at this point.
We'd like to revisit the whole steam pump master plan as a future agenda item and take a look at our options.
Mr. Mayor.
Let's go, Councilmember Pena, Snyder, okay. Robin, and then me.
What I think we're looking at three different things here: the wall stabilization, the security system, and the fire safety. So when we originally talked about this at last council session, I think we kind of agreed that Proctor Lieber would be in the best interest to finish the push house, pull the Proctor Lieber project, the $55,000, and dedicate those funds towards getting the push house completed, or at least almost completed with what needs to be done. What's a little confusing now is that there ends up being more monies than we originally, I think, were told. Or
it was brought up by the Historical Society. They would like the sprinkler system all. However, that was not recommended by the Historical Preservation Commission. So I don't think we're decided on whether or not we should proceed yet with the fire suppression system in a Pusch Ridge house.
I think it was what we could get done for the 50. We already had the 15,000 in the budget. It was what we could get done with
the 55,000. Not spent on the Proctor Lieber, but
exactly.
Yes.
And just for clarification, based on the fact you have three things, I only hear two things. The 15,000, I don't hear that as being the stabilization is still a go.
Yes. Correct.
So that's okay. Good. Right. So now okay. We're down to the two, and okay. Have to figure out the two. And with the 36,000, it ends up being more than the 50.
Right.
5,000.
Mayor, Councilmember Pena, as a reminder, if the direction is to go with the fire suppression system, we still need to have some capacity for the security system, which I don't know. I don't know if we have a
maybe that's what. See, and I think that's part of the thing that we talked about, what Steve is mentioning. And so I'm kind of in favor of, because we don't have that figure, you know, maybe it's best to figure out what we can do.
Put it on a future agenda.
Put it on a future.
But we want to take Proctor Lieber off.
That is correct.
Okay, so there's clarification that we take Proctor Lieber off, take the $55,000 and park it in its own fund, and then when we revisit that, we'll see what the additional cost of the security system is. And if there's enough capacity in the $55,000, if there's not enough capacity in the $55,000 plus the $5,000 that the Historical Society has, then we'll take the balance out of contingency. But that'll be decided at a later date. Fair? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
Depending on the cost of the security system.
Right.
Correct.
So the question I have, Stacey, and maybe Danny could jump in too, with the impending assessment from Pima County for increased property assessment, I think it's 25 cents, dropping it by 11 cents next year. Oro Valley stands to receive for road maintenance $1.5 million in that. And this budget, I don't believe, is reflected in that. Do we need to add a capacity on the off chance that it passes by a factor of $1.5 million so that we can receive those revenues from Pima County to add into our road maintenance?
No, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we have the ability to receive those revenues currently under our cap. We budget our contingency reserves, and that's why we budget fully to capacity in those reserves so that we have the ability to take those in and expend them if we choose to do so next year.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah. So this is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing. I do not have any speakers, so I'll close the public hearing. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Hornet.
I move to approve resolution number R1720, adopting the tentative budget for the fiscal year 2017-18 and setting the local alternative expenditure limitation for fiscal year 2017-18 at
$128,442,505.
$567.
And we're arguing about that. That's that 125 from HERF.
Yeah. So that number is adjusted here?
Yes.
It's not included.
On the screen.
Okay. $128,567,505.
I'll second.
All right. Motion for the second. Any further discussion?
Just, Mr. Mayor, we just spent all this time on how much?
Yeah,
I know
exactly what I was going to say. I think we can figure that other part out.
Yeah. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. With that, there are no future agenda items. There are no call of the audience speakers. I'll entertain a motion going to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Joining us in executive session will be the Legal Services Director, Human Resources Director, Stuart Satire with CPS HR, and the Town Clerk.
Wait.
What?
I have a microphone.
Put on our chair. Okay.
Right, guys. Yes, Mike, are you not official?
There's a reason why poor
told
us. Oh. Okay, Councilmember, the microphones are live. We'd like to resume the regular session, please. Councilmember Pena.
I move to approve giving authorization to relevant personnel and or consultants to go forward with any next steps regarding the town manager recruitment as discussed in the executive session.
I'll second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Carries. Meeting adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.